The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 5th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said to the disciples, "You have heard that it was said, 'An eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth.' But I say to you, do not resist an evildoer. But if anyone strikes you on the right cheek, turn the other also. And if anyone wants to sue you and take your coat, give your cloak as well. And if anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go also the 2nd mile. Give to everyone who begs from you, and do not refuse anyone who wants to borrow from you. You have heard that it was said, 'You shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy.' But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be children of your Father in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the righteous and on the unrighteous. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet only your brothers and sisters, what more are you doing than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect." The Gospel of the Lord. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. A few weeks ago, Pastor Amy warned you that we would have 4 weekends in a row from the Sermon on the Mount. Well, this is number 4, and this is the one where really you should batten down the hatches. I'm going to preach on our gospel text, and most likely, most of you think that Jesus was exaggerating. Many Christians perhaps think that this part of the Sermon on the Mount is hyperbole, that Jesus was kidding. Maybe he really didn't mean what he said. You know, turn the other cheek? Come on now. That'll turn me into a doormat. I can't do that. Love your enemies? No. No way. No, I won't. I can't. Right? Well, I might get myself into trouble here, but what I believe and what I'm going to tell you this morning is that I think Jesus was dead serious about these things, that he was not kidding. In fact, our lesson for today, I think, really is a lens through which we can see Jesus' whole teaching about the kingdom of God, this kingdom that he is establishing and inviting us to be a part of, not only in heaven above, but here on earth as well. Now, you remember, of course, some of the key teachings of Jesus. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. And, from our first lesson this morning, love your neighbor as yourself. Then, of course, there's the one that we all know quite well. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Those three things certainly are the centerpiece of the Sermon on the Mount and on Jesus' teachings. But I think our lesson this morning helps to clarify a little bit more clearly what Jesus meant in practical terms, everyday kind of terms. What we heard Jesus say, and probably haven't really taken all that seriously, is that if you only love those who love you, there's nothing. Instead, love those you don't love. Love those that you despise. Maybe even love those that you hate. Love them too. Do good to them too. You see, if you only do good to those who do good to you, That's not living in the kingdom. Instead, do good to those who treat you like dirt. Be good to those who might persecute you. Be good to those who might hate you. Be good to them. There's not this reciprocity, only doing good to those who are good to you. And this business of love, it's not reciprocal either. You don't love those who only love you, but love all people. Here's the thing. The love of God is absolutely wonderful, is it not? That God loves us so deeply, so passionately, so completely, that no matter what we do or haven't done, no matter how far we've strayed away, no matter how we might offend God, no matter how we might have hurt others, God refuses ever to abandon us, refuses to stop loving us, continually invites us into forgiveness and new life and hope. That is clearly good news. And I'm sure most every Christian will agree with that. But there's a second part to this, you see, Jesus says. God loves you, and you are called to love all of those that God loves. You see, here's the deal. It's not just us that God loves. It's everyone, even and especially those that treat you badly, even and especially those who are different, even and especially those who you might despise or hate or fear. God's love is for them just as much as for you. That's how it is in the kingdom of God. That good news is extended out through us to all. And that's where many of us balk. Wait a minute, Jesus. You're asking too much here. This is too hard. This is unrealistic. This is utopian. You got to be kidding, Jesus. I don't think he is. Because you see, life in the kingdom of God is very different from the way the world works. It's a dog-eat-dog world, right? Survival of the fittest, them that got, get. That's how it is in the world that we live in. But in the kingdom of God that Jesus is establishing in us and through us, the rules are different. God's love through us changes things, changes the world. God's love through us, even to those that aren't very lovable. He makes it very clear, I think, that the love of God and the good news of grace and the gospel is not our private property, but for all, extended to all. And the way that we interact with others is not to be the way that we interact in the world as we know it, but to live under the ethics of the kingdom of God, which is ruled by love and not by hatred, that is ruled by giving and generosity and compassion and not by what you can gather up for yourself. Now, I know there may be preachers out there that will tell you that that's what the gospel really is about, that, you know, it's about becoming successful and God blessing you and making life comfortable and wonderful. And I've got to tell you, that's not how it is. Because you see, the kingdom of God operates under the cross. And you might remember that Jesus himself showed us the way to carry our cross. Jesus himself was hated, unjustly tried and punished. He was nailed to a wooden cross and yet in that moment refused to hate back, refuse to demand vengeance. Instead, Father, forgive them. They do not know what they're doing. And then, after defeating the power of sin and death on the cross, Jesus rises from the dead. And even then, a time when might have been able to exact vengeance on all of those that did it to him, but instead he offers the promise of new life, forgiveness, and hope, and everlasting presence with God. Even then, he turns the other cheek. Even then, he gives even the things that were not given to him. And this is the deal. We are asked to go and do likewise. Now, I know this is not easy. It is not easy to give up those hurts that we've felt. It's not easy to give up those fears that we feel deep down of someone who's different or strange, or perhaps even beyond the pale of our standards of acceptability. It isn't easy. But taking up the cross and following Jesus isn't supposed to always be easy. In fact, it can be quite difficult. But that yet is what we are called to strive to do. At the end of our lesson, Jesus says, be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. That's a rotten translation, by the way. The word there is teleos, like in telescope, looking forward. It's more like be complete, like a tree that bears fruit is complete in what it is and who it is. Be who you are. Be complete. Be that baptized, beloved child of God that you are, and bear fruit. Let it show. Let it be you. Let it be part of you. The theology of the cross is central to Lutherans. The idea that we bear the cross of Jesus, that we don't strike back, that we do love the unlovable, that we do let the love of God flow through us. It's a different kingdom we're called and invited to be part of. Not so much a command, but an invitation to be like Jesus insofar as we are humanly possible. Do that. That kingdom of God is very different. The kingdom of this world leaves so many casualties on the side. You know, survival of the fittest, so many fall. Only the few survive, and what do they have when it's all done? Hate generates more hate. What was it Gandhi said? An eye for an eye makes the whole world blind. Jesus invites us to be part of a different kingdom. You might remember that just a chapter later in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus teaches us to pray, teaches the Lord's Prayer. And the line in there, thy will be done on earth as in heaven, thy kingdom come. Those of you who went through Lutheran Catechism might remember the explanation to the third petition. The good and gracious will of God comes among us without our doing. The kingdom of God comes without our doing, but we pray that it might come in us and through us. Jesus is inviting us to be part of that kingdom. Just maybe, he wasn't kidding. Maybe, just maybe, you and I are the people who can work to establish that kingdom among ourselves, in us, and through us, and out to others. Those that our Lord loves so passionately, so deeply, just as he loves us. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.